I could pretty well continue tonight my comments from this morning with regard to how difficult it is to talk to people about the gospel because of the wickedness of our day. When preachers get together, we talk about our work, and most of us will lament the fact that we're not able to have Bible studies anymore. We're not having a great response to the gospel of Christ because we live in a different world than what it was 50 years ago. And you might not have been alive that long, but I do remember that. I remember the good times of Bible studies and baptizing a lot of people, and it's sort of famine time now from that standpoint. We're just not able to do what we did in the past. But I want to take pleasure or sympathy in the fact that the Word of God is not chained. Regardless of how the world is, the gospel cannot be contained, it cannot be hidden, because it is free. And God has seen to this and all the ways that He's done that. So we want to talk about the fact that the gospel is not chained tonight and how that adds blessings to us and hope for the future. I believe in God's own way, He's going to get the attention of our world. He's always done that in one way or the other. May not be to our liking, but Sodom and Gomorrah is an example. When the world gets so bad, God intercedes in some ways. And I think it's about time for God to intercede, but that's His business. But we have to recognize it's a real blessing to us that the gospel is not chained because it is of God. A familiar passage in 2 Timothy 3:16, which talks about all scripture being inspired of God, and how profitable it is exactly true. And the good thing about it is, wherever Bibles go, the will of God goes. And someone we may not even know would be interested in reading that Bible. I would like to comment that we had a request from China recently, India, for a Bible study. So we're going to be tending to India, but I surely hope we get something right here in Mansfield. But at least we know that some are looking at that. And when you look at the inspiration of the Word of God, 2 Peter also comments upon this and helps us to understand that God is at work in the gospel of Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 1, and beginning of verse 20, Peter said, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. That is, someone doesn't decide when they're going to prophesy. God is the one who does that. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We've been blessed with that as we recognize the Scriptures that are so around us and we're able to have at our help. And we understand that it's with the purpose of God. A number of passages, including Job 42 and verse 2, speak of the fact that the purposes of God will be served. And Jeremiah said that the word of God would not return unto him void. The idea is that God's word is free. You can't contain it. You can't stop it. Only those who are disinterested will not be able to understand the gospel, but it's still there, and it has never left us. In Acts chapter 5, when the apostles were being persecuted because they were preaching the gospel, and they were told not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus, they said, we must obey God rather than man. And that shows a tremendous purpose in the apostles' lives. And they gave themselves. Evidently, all of them died a violent death except John, because they were willing to die for the cause of Christ. And as they preached the gospel, it went into different lands, it went into different places, and the result was that the church of the Lord spread all over the world at that time. And it has transformative power. That is, there's something that's working in the gospel beyond what the preacher is. All of us who are preaching recognize, if we should, the limited power that we have. And many times we don't do the best job. But we do recognize that there's a transformative power in the gospel of Christ independent of anything that we might do. And that's a sustaining and a helpful thing to understand and to realize. In Acts chapter 3 and in verse 18, the scripture says, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. The idea that seasons of refreshing, we need that so badly today. How much we need the gospel of Christ in our wicked land, and to be able to have the transforming power of that. And you see in this the courage of Peter and John, that they would suffer in order to see that the gospel went forward. In verse 3 of the next chapter, they laid hands on them and put them in custody till the next day, for it was already evening. However many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. I just would glory in that happening again. It'd be so good to see church buildings full with chairs in the aisle. And I remember back in the late 50s when I was in North Carolina, that happened. And we had tremendous growth. We had chairs in the aisle. We had people being baptized and men and women being restored from the military base. I look back on those days now, and what a blessing it was just to be a part of that. And to this very day, I still have brethren that I met during that time that we stay in touch with. And like me, they're getting old, but they're still faithful to the service of Christ. And I know that the gospel had its transformative ways in those days as well. And we need that today. How much we need that in America today. Well, in what sense was it not chained? Well, in the sense of its relevance. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, the word of God is forever. It never changes, and it cannot be stopped. We noticed in one of our classes on Wednesday night that there were many attempts, and I think Brother Lewis was teaching a class during that period of time, a week ago, where you had people who were trying to stop the spread of the Bible. And there were emperors who said that the Bible was going to be destroyed. There were Syrians that tried to destroy every part of the Old Testament Bible when they took over in Israel. Hitler himself was an enemy of the Bible, and he wrote a book called Mein Kampf, and I may not be pronouncing that right, but that was his pathway to glory. And he said that he was going to destroy the Bible, and everybody would read his book, Mein Kampf. But the ironic thing is, the very printing press upon which he printed his book later began to print the Bibles. And his book is nothing. Now, you might find a copy online or in some library, but it's not known well, and it's certainly not believed today. And the scriptures continue. It's timeless. It's just, there's no way to measure it so far as time is concerned. And then it talks about its relevance. There are two things in Galatians 5. First of all, beginning about verse 19, you have the works of the flesh. Well, we know those. We could almost comment on those from the newspaper. But also, there's the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is something that results from the Bible and how the Bible is believed and how it is realized and lived. So in Galatians chapter 5, beginning of verse 22, we have the fruit of the Spirit, and it talks about those, first of all, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And he says, against such there is no law. And I want to live in a neighborhood where those things prevail. I want to be able to trust my neighbors. I'd like to be able to trust our politicians. And if people would just live by the gospel of Christ, their lives would be changed so that they would have this fruit of the Spirit and use it very well. And we understand it has not lost its power. It is unchained in the sense that it is still needed today. People still need the gospel. We used Romans 3:23 this morning. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. And we learned in class this morning in 2 Thessalonians how the Holy Spirit sanctifies through the belief of the truth. as we respond to the call of the gospel. I think that's verse 14 of chapter 2. But the idea is the gospel is still working and it's still calling people. And as people are able to hear the gospel, whether the printed page, whether the radio, the television, our website, the gospel is not chained. It's going freely into the world. And there have been mighty, mighty efforts to try to destroy the Bible. It's still here. It's still here. And that's so comforting to know that this is something that is a part of our life. That I'm a part of something bigger than me. And that the gospel of Christ is timeless and it'll be here at the last days. And in its proclamation, it's not chained. The Apostle Paul was in prison in the book of in the city of Philippi, and he was beaten. But he and Silas were in prison at midnight singing songs, and the great earthquake occurred, and the jailer knew that someone of God was there in the jail, and he preached to them that night. You might put him in jail, but you wouldn't stop the power of the gospel. That also happened with Onesimus and Philemon. Philemon had a slave, and the slave evidently stole something and ran away and hid himself in Rome. And while he was there, he met Paul in prison. Paul converted him. And in prison, the gospel of Christ is still powerful. I think of Brother Willie, I'll say his name in a moment, over in Philippines. He was defending himself when he was a young man and killed someone who was quite wealthy. And his parents shopped around till they got a judge. And though he was self-defense, they had him put in prison. But in prison, Brother Willie Pastor converted scores of people. In that big prison, there were 7 different churches because of the work that Brother Pastor did. You can't stop the gospel of Christ when there's a conviction in the heart of Christians that they're going to send that gospel message out. Now, Brother Pastor is free. Brother Harry Osborne went over there and worked with the officials and finally had justice with him, and they released him from the prison. He's out preaching still. And that's the kind of man, the kind of person that we'd all want to be, to have that kind of conviction. In fact, the matter is, you just couldn't stop the gospel of Christ, even in prison. And there are those today, even, who have prison ministries that work on that. And so we look at that and we say, well, it's still efficacious, powerful. The gospel is still powerful today. In Romans 1:16, the word for power is the word dynamos, which means dynamite. It is the power, the dynamite of God that will save the lost, because it explodes false theories, it explodes false ideas, and is willing then to be called by the gospel. I'd like to turn to 1 Thessalonians and refresh our minds about what we studied this morning as we look at this and recognize what a blessing it is to have this. I said verse 14 earlier, let's go back to verse 13. Paul said, "But we're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the attaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ." We never knew who they were in Thessalonica. But they died brethren. It's a sad thing. There's no church in Thessalonica now. All the 7 churches of Asia have disappeared. But the gospel of Christ is still here 2,000 years down the road. And all the efforts to try to stop it and all the false creeds that have come doesn't make any difference. It still has that same power. In the book of Acts again, as Paul was speaking to the elders at Ephesus, he said in verse 32, and I love this because it applies to us as well. "So now, brethren, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." God is able, and nobody can overcome God's will. We can deny it in our own life, but it's going to always promote growth, spiritual growth, in the power of the gospel of Christ. And so we have the power of the gospel that will defeat error. I remember, when I think about this, I think of Brother J.D. Tant. And he would go into a town and start challenging the denominational preachers for debates. And somebody said, well, Brother Tant, you don't know what they believe. And he said, I don't care what they believe. If they don't believe the gospel, I'll debate them. I'll oppose them. Because I know the Bible, so therefore I know every false doctrine. And that's exactly the way it is. So in 2 Corinthians now, in chapter 10, we have some statements that lead us to understand that the gospel can defeat error, and it's wonderful to know. In chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity in the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is full. Every false doctrine that has ever or ever will be taught has already been answered in the Bible. It's that perfect. It's that complete. God knows all the thoughts of men, and no matter how they may come up with some false doctrine, it's already covered in the Bible. And what we as Christians have to do, just know the Bible, so not only are we going to be led away by false doctrine, but we're going to be able to overcome that false doctrine. And in Jude 3, contend for the faith, once for all delivered to the saints. And to understand that we can defeat every error there is. It's from a preacher's standpoint, how sweet it is to be able to preach without a creed. I don't have to give answer to any committee. I don't have to give answer to any pontifical committee. I don't have to answer to any denominational conference. I'm just free to preach the gospel. And that is such a wonderful privilege. I'm aware of that. And if somebody came and said, Brother Roberts, you're teaching something wrong. Well, you show me the right way and I'll preach that. Because that's all I want to do. And I'm free to do that. I don't have to answer to somebody in some committee somewhere and get permission. I told you before about a thing in North Carolina. This young man felt he was called by God to preach. And so his family sent him to the Baptist College up in the Piedmont area, and he failed. He couldn't get his license. And you wonder, because he said the Holy Spirit called him, who made the mistake? Did the Holy Spirit make a mistake in calling him when he couldn't do what he was called to do? Or did the Baptist College make a mistake? And so you've got all those scenarios where you stop and think about that. I would fail if I couldn't preach the Bible. And so all my life, I've been a student of the Bible. From the time that I obeyed the gospel, I recognized the need to understand the Word of God. I had an older man. There were three of us boys in Gladewater, Texas. And Carl Allen's uncle got us to go out to this little country church, and he said, I want you three boys to start preaching. And he had to show me what you do. I had known some very good preachers, but I didn't put myself in that class. But I started. I started when I was a junior in high school. And I'm so grateful that I got an early start like that. And I felt like I've been involved in something all my life that's very worthwhile. There's nothing special about me, but I'm just so happy that I learned that pathway while I was still young. And I am able to debate error because I love the truth, and anyone can do that. And then, of course, one of the great reasons why it's not chained is it'll still be at the judgment day. The Baptist Creed will not be there. The Methodist Creed will not be there. The Catholic Catechism will not be there. None of the denominational doctrines will ever show up at the judgment day, but the will of God is going to be there. So in John chapter 12, Jesus told us very clearly what's going to take place. In verse 48, He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. I mentioned to someone this morning, when Robert Farish died, he had an open casket, and he had an open Bible on his chest. And underlined in that was, preach the word. Preach the word. I would like that for me. I'd like to take a copy of the Bible to my grave with me. Because in a little while, we're going to see the living word. And it won't be any different than this right here. We're so blessed. I get to thinking sometimes about all the people of the world, where I was born, and how I was exposed to the gospel of Christ, and how there were people who opposed it, but my mother, a blessed mother, lived a good life and influenced me to love the Word of God and to love going to church. From the time that I started going in Kilgore, Texas, it was just a good time. I never felt like it was something I had to do. And I would love to see that in other people. That you want to come to the assemblies. You want to be exposed to the Word of God. Oh, that we could have the attitude of the Philippine brethren. They won't want you to quit less than 2 hours. And then after the 2 hours, they will ask you to stay another hour where they have questions and answers. They're hungry. I ran into that up in the Northwest when I went back to preach up in Washington State in that area. And the same thing. They would say, now don't you cut it short. And then we want to have questions and answers after it. And it was just so good to be where people yearned after the gospel of Christ. And we are spoiled. We have so many copies of the Bible. We hear preaching all the time. And we sort of take it for granted. But just think in terms of Harry Osborne going to Belarus in Russia, and handing out Bibles. And people had never seen a copy of the Bible, and grown men cried. He gave them a Bible, and they burst into tears. They'd never seen one before. And to think that, count up how many Bibles you've got in your house. You know, it'd be sort of hard to do because we've got all kinds of literature. We've got Bibles themselves, New Testaments, Old Testaments. And it's a treasure that sometimes we don't realize what I have in my hand and what I have in my home and how our home has been blessed with the principles of truth and justice in the Bible. I'm just so thankful I can't begin to tell you what it is to be a Christian. And I hope and pray that as long as I live, I can point people in that direction. And so I know that the judgment will bring that. And Hebrews chapter 4 talks about the power of the gospel of Christ in judgment itself. In Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's this. That's the word of God can do that. I've been accused at times of, somebody told you about me before you preached. You were preaching right at me, and I didn't know a thing about it. It's just that the word is so sharp that when you preach the word and there's a person in the audience who needs it, they'll feel it. And I don't have to be told. If I'll preach the whole counsel of God, it'll cover everybody, including me. And so it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We didn't recognize that the gospel is not chained. And I didn't read that at the beginning. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and be assured of the fact that the gospel is going to be here. It's been here and it will continue to be here. In verse 9, for Paul is talking about the gospel for which I suffer trouble, as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. And so I think of Paul and Silas in that prison. They'd just been whipped. They were suffering. And they didn't whine. They sang songs. And the Lord moved that prison with an earthquake. End result of the jailer and his household became Christians, along with Lydia and her household that he had converted before he was put in prison. Let's pray that the Word of God will have free course in America. Let that be your prayer. We need to have the gospel go forward and do something to this nation again before God says that's it. I know there's a time when the patience of God has run out. The time came from Sodom and Gomorrah, and when God's patience ran out, that was the end of it. And I'm persuaded that there's a patience that God has that the Bible talks about that's a blessing to us, because that patience of God gives us time to preach and to convert the lost and inhabit heaven with more people. But at the same time, God's appointed a day in which He's going to judge the world, and we're pressing toward that day. Let's be ready and recognize that the gospel has made such an improvement in my life. The gospel has been powerful in that you're here tonight, and let's keep the power of the gospel in our lives and spread it as far as we can spread it. If you need to respond to the gospel of Christ tonight, we ask you to come while we stand and sing that invitation.